Husker Doc Talk Podcast, 2014, number 16. Greetings and welcome to another edition of the Husker Doc Talk Podcast, presented by the Remington Trophy. I'm your host, Travis Justice, joined by the smartest man in America. You know him just as Dr. Rob, former Husker All-American, 1994, Big 8 Athlete of the Year, Dr. Rob Zadiska. What's up, Doc?
I am freezing. It is cold in Nebraska right now.
Well, it was really freaking cold in Madison, Wisconsin on Saturday night. As you know, I don't want to say we told you so, but if you would have listened to the podcast last week, you started to hint that, hey, if, you know, Wisconsin can get to the outside, watch out. They're going to run all over Nebraska. I watched that game, Rob. I did not see the freight train coming that was rolling through Madtown like we saw.
You know, we talked about Wisconsin a little bit in depth in one of our early season podcasts when we were discussing the Wisconsin-LSU game, which was their season opener. And during that game, Melvin Gordon kind of, it was a little bit of a statement game for him. Now, that's not saying much, given when you look back even 2 years ago, the guy put up 230-some yards against Nebraska in that Big Ten title game as a sophomore. So it's not like the guy hasn't had statement games before. But when I watched him run against a, you know, it's not like LSU's a great team, but they're not a bad team. Melvin Gordon against a solid SEC defense went nuts against LSU and did the exact same thing. Every time he hit the corner, he was gone. And it's just the guy is an absolute home run hitter. He's one of those guys that has the ability to hit a hole, and from the time he takes the handoff to the time he gets to the line of scrimmage, by the time he gets to the hole, he's already at top speed, and his top speed is something to behold. You're not going to catch him from behind. I don't know what his 40-yard dash time is, but guy's got to run something in the 4.4 range, and I think he hits that mark in about two steps.
Hey, now, I saw Nate Geary catch him from behind last night.
That was a heck of an angle that he had, and I'm not sure you want to call that exactly catching him from behind, because he was kind of forced to sort of, well, recheck his – direction a couple of times during that run where Geary got him. I'm not sure Nathan Geary in a straightaway foot race beats Melvin Gordon.
Okay, enough about that game, because we have a lot to talk about, and that is Nebraska today, as we speak and will be all week long, is the laughingstock of college football. And for all the wrong reasons, because you're talking about a team that had high expectations and then went on national television and not only lost, but got its ass kicked. And then gave up 408 yards to Melvin Gordon.
To one guy. In three quarters. He didn't even play in the fourth quarter.
Now, we can talk about this till we're blue in the face. Tom Chattel in the Omaha World Herald went off on it. Dirk Chatelain in the Omaha World Herald went off on it. We're going to talk about Bo and his job security. That's all fine and dandy. But before we get to that, does Nebraska have a personnel problem or does it have a schematic problem?
Personally, I think it's a schematic problem. And the reason I say that is, you know, I kind of made a reference in one of my tweets during the game to the Minnesota system or the Wisconsin system, which it's kind of one and the same. And basically, you recruit locally, you get a handful of national guys to kind of fill in. You run a very basic, I mean, it's not like Wisconsin was throwing anything unusual at Nebraska. This was not a complicated offense that they run. It's just, they just go Lombardi Green Bay Packers and just run the same basic offense, but they run it very, very well. It's an absolute clinic in execution. And it's, like I said, it is a ground-based zone blocking, power running offense. If you want to call it anything, you know, this is the kind of thing that a lot of people would refer to as antiquated. And you've seen so many different teams out there 10, 20, 30 years ago running this offense, and the fact that everybody was doing it, it almost made it seem sort of passe, and anything that new came along was sort of the hot thing. But when you look at the good teams in the country right now, about the only two teams that I don't see – well, let me rephrase it. The only couple of teams in the top 10 nationally that I see not running a similar offense or running something that's a little bit more fringe would maybe be like Oregon or maybe even Florida State, which runs more of a pro-style passing offense. But that's really it. Everybody else is running this – Wisconsin system. And, you know, I put a tweet out there that basically said something along the lines of, you know, we're going to talk about during the podcast this week how the Big Ten really isn't all that different from the SEC. When you look at the good teams in the Big Ten, when you look at what Wisconsin's doing, Michigan State, Ohio State, Minnesota, they're running a power running, a zone blocking based offense that isn't anything all that special. You don't look at that offense and go, oh my God, this is absolutely groundbreaking. Nobody's ever seen this before. How are people ever going to figure out how to stop it? The reason people are having trouble stopping these offenses has absolutely nothing to do with the novel aspect of it. It's the fact that these guys run such a basic system. It's so ungodly simple. They've been running it and practicing it year in and year out all year long. They just do it really, really well. It
kind of reminds me of some Nebraska teams back in the early 90s. You knew exactly what was going to be run. You just had to stop it. Now
It's not like we ran something that was all that weird and different. It was a mild – Osborne ran a mildly calculated offense. We just ran it really, really well. And when you look at teams, say, take Wisconsin or Minnesota, for instance, or let's take Wisconsin and Minnesota. They run a similar – the basics of their offense philosophically are not that different. Mm-hmm. It's just that Wisconsin has better athletes than Minnesota does.
Well, they obviously have better athletes than Nebraska has. I've never seen a Nebraska defensive line get blown up as much as it did on Saturday night. That's why I ask you, is it a personnel problem or is it a schematic problem?
And I think Nebraska started off playing fairly well. It wasn't that they weren't getting beat physically early on. Most of the first quarter and actually most of the second quarter, they were actually hanging in there from a physical standpoint. That wasn't an issue. The issue happened when you saw guys with mental breakdowns. The two plays, Melvin Gordon had, I think it was a 42-yard run in the first quarter. It was the drive that ended with the Wisconsin field goal.
Yep.
And then he had another one for a he broke that long run around the right side of it was to the offensive right where he scored on. And I think that was like a 60-yard run. Both of those were assignment breakdowns by Nebraska. They lost containment due to an assignment breakdown, and it allowed Melvin Gordon to get the corner, and he was gone. It wasn't until you saw those assignment breakdowns that then you saw more and more mental breakdowns. You saw guys kind of going into, oh, crap, now we've got to make up mode. You saw guys leaving their gaps, leaving their assignments, and then all of a sudden all hell broke loose. And then at that point, Wisconsin started controlling the clock, running the ball. Guys are getting tired. And it was game over at that point. You know what? It was much more a composure and assignment breakdown on Nebraska's part than it was a physical domination. Now, don't get me wrong. Wisconsin's got, geez, I mean, their offensive line is unbelievable. That one tackle, they said, I can't remember the guy's name, but it's guy 6'8", 330 pounds. You're not going to physically dominate that offensive line with anybody. But you can hang in there with them as long as you play your assignments, play good gap defense, maintain your composure, and don't have mental breakdowns. And Nebraska had mental breakdowns.
So we have players that blew their assignments. We had players that had mental breakdowns. That comes down to coaching, Rob. Now, Bo Pelini is a fiercely loyal individual. And I'm going to ask you something that probably puts you outside your comfort zone a little bit. Does John Papuchis need to be fired? He was too young to get the job in the first place. He should have never had it. And now we're seeing year in and year out in big games, this defense not performing. The way Bo Pelini looks at Papuchis on the sideline during the game is utter disgust. Should John Papuchis be relieved of duties when the season is over?
I think Pelini needs to be running his own defense. I don't have that much faith in what you see from Papuchis. When you get into big games, when you get into tight situations, the players don't have that ability to fall back on a comfort level with the scheme they're running. I mean, if they had a good, strong comfort level with the scheme they're running, I think they'd have a lot more confidence in it, and I don't think you'd see these breakdowns. Now, you can talk about Papuchis, but I'm also concerned about when you look at the offensive side of the ball. To this day, you still don't have any kind of identity.
You can look at
Minnesota and you know exactly what their identity is as an offense. You can look at Wisconsin and know exactly what their identity is as an offense. Now, when you look at the quality of the athletes and the style of offense that a team runs, you know what? You take where Minnesota is in terms of offensive philosophy versus Wisconsin, and it's pretty similar. Take Wisconsin and compare them to any of the really good teams in the SEC. Mississippi State, Alabama, you look at Auburn. I mean, all those teams have maybe a little bit more true dual threat quarterbacks, obviously, than what Wisconsin has. But that's the reason Wisconsin's been running this two quarterback system, is because they don't have one guy who can do both things. So they put McAvoy in and have him run the ball from the quarterback spot. You know, when he's in, he's going to run it. So it's not like they're trying to surprise anybody with anything. It's just that when you look at Wisconsin versus some of these upper tier SEC teams, philosophically, from an offensive standpoint, they're trying to do the same thing. They've got a monstrous offensive line that plays good fundamental technique, and they just try and beat you into the dirt with the running game. All the very good teams are doing that. TCU runs more of a spread. Oregon obviously runs more of a spread rushing attack. It's not anything crazy that these really, really good teams are doing. They are lining up massive, incredibly athletic offensive linemen, and they are hammering away at you with big, strong, incredibly fast running backs until you break, and Nebraska broke spectacularly. You know, you can blame it all on Papuchis. You can blame it on the defense, and I think that's part of the problem. But I think part of the problem also is the fact that Nebraska does not have an answer offensively. And I think that's Beck's fault for not having any kind of identity and hanging his hat on one thing. Nebraska has, I think, under Beck, tries to do too much well, and does that. Nebraska does a lot of different things offensively okay,
but nothing
instead
great.
Instead of doing a couple of things really well, they do a lot of stuff very so-so.
Of course, the Husker Doc Talk podcast is presented by the Remington Trophy. This year's Remington Trophy presentation coming up January 17th, 2015 at the Rococo Theater in beautiful downtown Lincoln. This year's honorees will be Courtney Hall, the Ford Legends Award winner. Gunnar Esiason will be speaking on behalf of cystic fibrosis patients. Of course, Gunnar's been the face of cystic fibrosis since the Boomer Esiason Foundation was started. And Dave Remington, of course, the president of the Boomer Esiason Foundation. And this year's featured speaker is going to be Bobby Bowden, the former head coach of the Florida State Seminoles. So get your tickets now by going to RemingtonTrophy.com for the Remington Trophy presentation, January 17th at the Rococo Theater in Lincoln. You mentioned the offense, Rob, and there were points last night where Tommy Armstrong goes back to pass and just launches it 40 or 50 yards. And I'm like, that's not your game. What are you doing? I mean, it just was mind-boggling to me to watch the game and watch stupid play after stupid play not going to your strengths. In fact, they went to their weaknesses.
Well, and I think he was in a situation, he was just trying to get rid of the ball. And the – you know, I mean, he had the one interception, but I think most of the time it was a case where he was truly just trying to put the ball where maybe a Nebraska guy could get it, but if the Nebraska guy didn't, nobody would. And I think it was because, you know, Nebraska could not handle the pass rush that Wisconsin was putting on them, which, again, was not a complicated scheme. Wisconsin rush has a couple of really good outside defensive ends that rush, and they those guys are hard to block. They bring that safety blitz, that linebacker blitz. You know, again, it was basically five rushing against five most of the night. I mean, when they brought the blitz and they brought an extra guy and had the and required a running back to stay in to block him, boy, you could tell mid second quarter on that Amir's knee was just not there. Now, he was running the ball well when he got the ball and could kind of get into the mix. He was not his normal self. He was making runs that were, by most standards, pretty reasonable, but by his standards, almost kind of pedestrian. You could tell he was slowed down a little bit when he was trying to carry the ball. Mm-hmm. But boy, when he was trying to block, you could really see that knee was really bothering him. He needed to be pulled out, I would probably say, mid-late second quarter. Because when you saw him to go to blitz protection, when he'd go to pick up the blitzing linebacker, the blitzing safety, he would literally lift that leg off the ground when he'd make contact with the blitzing defender. You can't block a guy standing on one leg. And that's what Amir was trying to do most of the night on blitz protection. And that's why for most of the game, the blitz was getting to Tommy Armstrong. Amir, I hate to say it, it's one of these things where the guy's got a massive heart and a huge amount of courage to go out there when he's still hurt and try and play. But he was not – there's guys who can play hurt effectively. With his injury, he was not able to be effective.
Of course.
And the place where it really, really hurt Nebraska was on the blitz pickup because he wasn't able to do it.
Supporters of the Husker Doc Talk podcast include HuskerMax.com with the very best in content that is delivered each and every day. Go to HuskerMax.com as they proudly push out this podcast as well. And our good friends at the Benson Brewery. If you haven't been to the Benson Brewery lately, you are truly missing a unique experience with some great locally craft beer and a brand new chef delivering some of the best food in Omaha. It's the Benson Brewery in the heart of Benson. So there used to be a lot of bow leavers, as they used to say. There's not many bow leavers anymore. And it comes to they beat the teams they should beat, but when it comes to, you know, playing in the big game, Rob, this team and this coaching staff has not delivered ever when it mattered the most.
You've got some bowl games there where,
yeah, but you know what, there's no championships, Rob, and that's what the state of Nebraska wants. They want championships, and I think they realized that this team is nowhere near competing for a championship.
No, it's not, you know, which, you know, everybody makes such a big deal about the championship. It's harder to do than people think. And I mean, I've played on championship teams. Well, I say it's easy. It's harder to do than people think. But at the same time, I went four straight conference. Every year I played, we won a conference title. But times were a little bit different then. And I think the talent's been spread a little bit.
Let me rephrase what I was saying then. It's not necessarily losing. It's how you lose then. Look, and I mean that. Look at the way they lost last night. Look at the way they lost in the 2012 Big Ten championship game. It's the way they lose when they get in these championship situations. And they get just flat out embarrassed.
And that's the thing that I think does come down to coaching. When you look at these, when you look at the team, it's that loss of composure. And what the thing I saw with Nebraska more than anything else, it wasn't the fact that they were truly just being physically demolished. I mean, if that was the case, you know, I saw one tweet out there where somebody made a comment that, what was it, Western Illinois or somebody like that, held Melvin Gordon like 38 yards on 16 carries. You know, if it was truly a physical thing, then Melvin Gordon would have had 900 yards against Western Illinois or whoever it was that they played earlier in the year. That's not the case. I mean, the problem here, it's a mental thing and it's a composure thing. And sadly, that does come down to coaching. It comes down to the schemes that you're running. It comes to having an offensive philosophy and a defensive scheme that you've got, that players have a huge amount of comfort and a huge amount of faith in, and that they're comfortable going into the situation. And when you have some of these shifts in momentum, you're able to fall back on the coach, and you're able to fall back on, okay, you know what, I'm going to play my position, I'm going to hold my gap on defense, I'm going to do my job. And guys aren't doing that. It's, you see these breakdowns, and when it breaks down, you see one guy break down, then you see two, then you see five, and then all of a sudden, instead of UTEP being the team that's given up the most yards to any one player, any one rusher in college football history, it's Nebraska of all people.
So Nebraska has two games left, games against power running teams. Minnesota's up first, followed by Iowa. Does Nebraska win out?
All of a sudden, that Minnesota game went from, yeah, we got these guys, to a massive question mark. The only thing that helps Nebraska is that, one, if you truly want to make an argument on talent, Nebraska has more talent. They really do. But Minnesota runs a solid scheme. Nebraska went up to Minneapolis last year, and they lost, and it had nothing to do with anything other than the fact that Minnesota did the exact same thing on both sides of the ball the whole day. They ran a very basic control the clock, ground based offense, passes to the tight end. They ran a very solid base defense, and it contained Nebraska's running attack. It wasn't anything special. They just stuck to the basics and did it very well. Nebraska's going to have to play. They've got some serious mental block they're going to have to overcome going into next week, because you've got Wisconsin Junior coming to Lincoln. And I say that Minnesota has made huge strides. I mean, they hung in there pretty darn well with Ohio State. Yeah. For no reason other than the fact they do the exact same thing that Wisconsin does. They run the ball well with a very basic running attack. They play a controlled passing game to the tight end, and they play a good solid base defense and try to maintain containment. That's it. They don't do anything crazy or unusual. It ought to be the easiest game plan on the planet to have to prepare for. It's just, you got to be ready for them to come out, and they're going to come out, and they're just going to punch in the face over and over and over and over again with the exact same stuff, and you just got to be ready to sit in there and absorb those blows and wait for your openings. Iowa, I don't know if I want to call Iowa a power running team. Honestly, I think Iowa's problem more than anything is that they're a little bit like Nebraska in that they're trying to do too much. I think Iowa, if they would kind of sit back there, simplify things a little bit, take the game out of Rudock's hands a little bit, I think they would do a lot better.
You know, listening to you today, Rob, I don't think Bo Pelini should lose his job. I really don't. And I know a lot of people are going to call for it, but I will say this. Bo Pelini's got to evaluate his loyalty and make some very hard decisions when it comes to his assistant coaching staff when this entire season is over. If you want to get more from Dr. Rob, just follow him on Twitter during the week. He's got some great stuff out there at Doc Talk Sports. Make sure to tell a friend or two about the Husker Doc Talk podcast. You can follow us on iTunes and subscribe on Stitcher. It's always good to talk to you each and every week. We'll be back next week for another edition of the Husker Doc Talk podcast, presented by the Remington Trophy.